Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Well, today is January 2nd. It's not going to come up exactly probably near the end of the month or week, but we are right dab smack in the beginning of the month, and I have Tara Green with me today, so we are going to talk about 2018, because we do this now. This is our yearly thing.
This is our ritual.
This is going to happen every year so that we can play and have some fun and find out what the new year is all going to be about. So, welcome to the show, Tara.
Thank you. Welcome. Hi, Lori, and hi, everybody out there who's listening or watching. Yeah.
So, I don't know. People have been saying a lot of different things. Obviously, 2018 adds up to 11, which mm-hmm. is the master numbers.
Right.
And the master number then goes to a 2, so some people are saying it's all about femininity. Some people are saying it's about love. Some people are saying that, you know, the master number, I sort of did my thing on, you know, how are you going to master 2018? Because Lord knows I am so happy that 2017 is gone.
Right. Yeah, I think most people had a very hard, that Saturn in those last degrees of Sagittarius was really hard for a lot of people, for sure. So
it was interesting times.
Yes.
Yes.
So, when I do the tarot, when I do people's numerology, I do use the larger number, like 11. It does mm-hmm. literally reduce to 11 as kind of the personality or the outer okay. level. And then what it reduces to, the root, is what you're, the soul essence. So I always use both. And
right.
also 11 is a duality, right. as is number 2. So you can do both.
Okay. Right.
So as a master number, you know, 11 has to do with remembering who you really are. So to me, that's really what it's about. You're going to remember who you really are. You already have all of those cellular memories, those ancient memories, those karmic memories within
right.
you.
Right.
So it's a year to really balance the inner and the outer. You know, for most people are always kind of focused on the outer level. It's really about going within and to balance the polar opposites, balance the yin yang. Balance the masculine, feminine within you. So the number 11 in the tarot is called strength.
Right.
Although there is also a dichotomy about that too.
Wait a minute.
Yes, I know. Okay. So let's talk about it as 11 first. Okay. So
right.
11 as strength. I know some people know it as 8.
Yes, just...
Okay. And again, you can use it as both.
Right.
You know, things are, if you're looking at it from a multidimensional perspective, you would use all of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's fair.
So the number 11 strength is like Leo energy. So you're dealing with, and the north node of the moon is in Leo still for most of
right.
this year.
Right.
So Leo is about willpower. It's about, you know, the third chakra. It's about strength. It's about courage. It's about daring. It's about self-expression. You know, here I am, world. You know, I'm the star of the show, you know. So it's about really showing up on the stage, you know, really living from your heart. Leo
right.
rules the heart.
Right.
And the child. So it's very much about healing the inner child, playing with your inner child, protecting the children, you know, so all of those attributes, you know, these are all, to me, the, you know, all the symbols are all messages for you. So the
sure.
more you can glean from those messages, the more you pull out, the better, you
right.
know. So
right.
creativity, play, that's all Leo, strength. You know, and in the tarot, she's traditionally, it's always this woman, and the woman always represents the anima or the soul. You know, she's holding the jaws of the lion. She's controlling
right.
those animal right. instincts. So it's
right.
about, you know, again, the heart, not just the lower chakras, right? Now, 11 is mm-hmm. also number 8. And there's different schools of tarot. And so there was a great fork there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, they say that North America uses the justice card and
okay.
Europe uses...
The more traditional
strength, yeah.
Which is
kind of the older one,
yeah.
I think.
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the tarot cards in sequence, astrologically, 7
oh.
is Cancer, and they start from the Emperor, which is Aries.
Okay.
You know, Taurus. Now, not all the major tarot arcana represent signs. Some represent planets. There's 3 of them that have nothing to do with planets or signs. They're called mother letters. But the next number after 7 would be Leo.
Okay.
So 8 would be Leo.
Right.
So the fact that the other tradition is it's Libra, justice, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, it's,
yes,
that's okay.
Feel.
You know, use what you feel works for you.
Right.
So the number 8 is karma. justice.
Right, right, okay? Right.
So again, we're dealing with, to me, that's a dual. Libra is a dualistic sign, you know, the two scales.
Right.
Again, representing the masculine and the feminine, or the right or the left-hand path, or, you know, justice.
Look, she just made it into the video.
Aw, hi, sweetie. Angel has joined us.
She has.
That's a good sign. Okay. So trusting your instincts. There's those animal instincts. They've now joined us, right? So the number eight, yes, karmic justice. Those are this Maat, the ancient Egyptian Maat scales of justice. Okay. So I always love that story, you know, about Maat, right?
I think you told me about it. Why would you have told me about it last year?
I don't know.
Maybe the 2 and the 8, like the 17 added up to 8? I don't know. But I think, go ahead, tell
okay,
it.
Okay, it was the number been, one year last year.
My own
maybe
chart.
It was your own thing. But anyway, so the scales of justice, Maat scales of justice, the ancient Egyptians believed that after you died, your heart was weighed against her diadem, which is an ostrich feather, against her feather.
Right.
And so if your heart was heavier than her ostrich feather, well, then you had to go back to Earth and reincarnate until your heart was as light as a feather. And I thought, how beautiful is that?
It is. It's I'm just still trying to remember why we did it again.
You were going through a personal number 8 year, because I know you're going through a number 9 year this year, but we're not going to talk about Lori's personal stuff.
That's true. That is true. I'm like, oh, right. Okay.
That's what it was. Okay.
There you go.
There you go. Anyway, so the number 8, balance. Again, balancing the opposites. Karmic justice, you know, I think a lot of people are waiting to see justice.
Well, we
in
thought
the world.
It was going to happen last year, didn't we?
Yeah, I know.
With Saturn in Sagittarius.
Well, I mean,
truth,
it was interesting that actually it pointed out the injustice.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And truth, you know, where is the truth, you know?
Mm.
So the number 8. So, you know, the infinity symbol is related to the number 8. So it's really about being aware that all time is now.
So you include all three numbers then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would
because of the discrepancy between the two.
Yeah, because, you know, if one faction or whatever sees it one way, there's got to be something about it, you know what I mean? And then why not? They are always interchangeable. You know, I always kind of look at both of them. Like, in fact, strength was not my first, for me intuitively, strength was not my personal, what I went to, you know, but that's okay. Whatever you feel drawn to, right? So we've all got different, you know.
And the strength, it's like, I like the strength card, except the whole patience thing.
Well, wait, but Uranus is going to enter Taurus. So it's going to slow down that whole kind of impatience, you know, are we there yet?
Yeah, that's kind of one of my things, I think, because I'm not a patient person.
You're not patient.
No, not so much.
Well, everybody's going to have to learn to be a little more patient over
well,
the next 7 or 8 years. So anyway, so the number 8. Karmic year, a destiny year as well. And then the number 2. So the symbolism of the number 2, the root number, the high priestess. To me, that's incredibly powerful to have a high priest this year, because since we've been in the 2000, the millennium of 2000, we're actually all, this whole era, the 1,000 years, is ruled by the high priestess.
Right.
Okay. So the number 2, the high priestess, is the moon.
Right.
So she represents intuition, totally feminine.
Right.
You know, the moon is the womb.
Right.
And again, the dream world, intuition, compassion, you know, she's it's about reflecting. So it's about pulling in. So even though the strength year is about, you know, having your power, your strength, or your heart, being the warrior, you know, the soul warrior, the heart warrior, the warrior of love, you know, however you want to imagine that, it has to be balanced if you want to bring in the justice card with going within. So I would try to put all of those things into one, you know, one big symbol. To me, the high priestess for women is very empowering, because that's my number. I am a number 2. It's about really remembering that women were considered to be the embodiments of the moon, and also the symbol of having this big super moon that was so bright we did run out to see it come up last night.
Gorgeous. I know it wasn't as cold last night.
Well, it was still pretty damn cold.
We've been going through such a cold or whatever you want to call this.
It's
pretty much all
over North America too, not just
here.
Yeah. So we did go out and look at that big, and it's the wolf moon. So there's also this other imagery, which is about dogs or wolves this year.
It happened pretty much the same. Because it started with the
It started the year. It's the wolf year. Traditionally, in Native American, it was called the wolf moon. And then in the Chinese calendar, we're going into the year of the dog. Well, dogs and wolves are basically the same. So the wolf is always howling at the moon, and the high priestess is the moon, you see? So it's all kind of coming together here, you see?
That's why Nancy said the moons will be important this year. She doesn't really go into the moons, but this year she says they're going to be kind of important because of the high priestess.
Right, because she's related to the moon. So it would be very important for everybody, I would say, to really start doing ceremony, really starting doing ritual in concert with the moons. There is going to be that also a super blue moon lunar eclipse. So it's a Leo blue moon lunar eclipse, January 31st. So it's a blue moon month. I mean, although blue moon astrologically and astronomically doesn't mean anything, but even, you know, whatever the sky, whatever, they get into it because it gives them viewers. But, you know, but again, you take all those symbols, you know, what does a blue moon mean, you know? And I like the blue Leo moon kind of. So there we're back to the strength card, you see. So because the high priestess, she works intuitively. So she picks up all the symbols. She sees all those cosmic messages. Right. You know, she trusts her own intuition.
Right.
So it is very empowering for women. And actually yesterday was just launched this Time's Up thing. Did you hear about that? 300 Hollywood women got together. They pledged money, $13 million.
Whoa.
To defend all of these women, mainly lower class women, farm workers, 700,000 women who were farm workers said that they also were part of the Me Too movement. And even though they weren't big Hollywood starlets, they still were getting sexually abused,
of course.
So I thought, well, there you go. You see, it's already taken a stance where they're, you know, Patreon, they're raising money through Patreon. So the women are doing it for themselves. That was an old Annie Lennox song. Sisters are doing it for themselves. That was an old Annie Lennox song that came to mind. So I think that's great. So women's empowerment,
nice.
For sure. Yeah. So paying attention to all the full moons. There's going to be a bunch of eclipses this year as well. Also, the Chinese New Year, February 15th, is opposite. It's at 27 Aquarius. So it's opposite that big August 21st solar eclipse.
Okay.
Every 6 months.
Right.
You get one, the opposite one. So, for example, all those people who are predicting Trump is going to be impeached or whatever, he got hit with that eclipse right on. And I'm going, well, you know, maybe this is when the shoe drops, February 15th, when it comes to the opposite side, you know.
Hmm.
But anyway, there's going to be also a lot of rare things happening astrologically this year. Next week, Venus and Pluto meet in Capricorn behind the sun. And they haven't done that in 247 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, that is big.
Yeah.
Then.
So in Capricorn, you see, because it has to do with Capricorn.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a big one.
And what do you see that meaning?
Well, I mean,
Pluto's all about transformation and
death.
And death.
Recycling.
Yes.
So, I mean, since 2008, you know, I remember all the astrologers, you know, because they're into predicting the future. When Pluto entered Capricorn in October 2008, all the astrologers went, well, until 2023-24, when Pluto's in Capricorn, it's going to destroy the corporate structure.
Mm.
Okay, and that's when the bank failure started, like literally a week later. You know, so they were kind of go, oh, okay, well, that was fast. It was only in the first week. okay, just hang around for another, you know, for all these number of years. So, you know, Pluto is destroying this, but, you know, there is a really Capricorn and Pluto, you know, there's this dark side that has to come out. So I think what we're seeing is people waking up now from the total corruption. I kept saying, you know, where did people get this idea that the government was benevolent or the medical system is benevolent or anything about governments or big pharma or any of that is benevolent? Like, that's a totally, like, you're asleep. You've been programmed to believe that, you know. So people are kind of waking up now and going, whoa, wait a minute. But we're also in this fake news thing, which is also, I think, done on purpose to confuse people so they don't know what WTF is going on, right? So Pluto, you know, Venus in Capricorn, it's, you know, Saturn is just now in Capricorn. So we're in a new era for the next three years.
Right.
Okay, so things are going to get very real. So this is the reality check. We've been under this Neptune Sagittarius. It's very idealistic. You can promise everything you want. Now is when you have to deliver.
Okay.
So if you're not, now Saturn in Capricorn is very traditional, you know, very patriarchal. It's very historical. Like, you know, Saturn in Capricorn is very Trump, I'm sorry to say. but, you know, if you can't show up and be accountable and mature, this is Saturn in Capricorn, right? But Saturn also destroys and tests, you see? So there's this dual thing going on, you know, at the one point.
And they like each other, right?
What, Saturn?
Saturn in Capricorn.
It rules Capricorn. Right. Saturn is in its own sign.
Right.
So when planets are in their own sign, they go, hey, I'm at home. I can do my own thing, you know? So, right. But seniors, Saturn in Capricorn rules seniors. So I think I'm predicting that a lot of elder women, crones, Saturn is named Kronos. You know, that was his name, crone. So I've been telling women, take the name crone. It's like really a beautiful name. It has to do with time. It has to do with wisdom. You know, older women are going to really, you know, make a difference this year. Okay. Nice. In politics, in pushing all of these, you know, old systems. They don't want this old patriarchal system. So on the one hand, you know, they're going to pull back, they're going to resist, but I think there is also going to be a very strong empowerment of people, you know. You have to understand how the system works. So right. Pluto and Venus again. So this also has to do with the undermining of the banking system, relationships. You know, right. Pluto-Venus is very powerful. You know, if you're really on your soul path, and it's at 19 degrees Capricorn. So if you have planets, if you know your astrology chart, you have planets at 19 degrees Capricorn, it's really empowering because Pluto is the soul. So if you're walking on your soul's path, it's like Venus brings love, beauty, harmony. It can be extremely rewarding. Right. So there can be a lot of breakups. Pluto destroys a lot of breakups of marriages. Things have been lasting a long time. You know, that's Saturn. You know, you sign the contract, you're in for till you die. A lot of marriages could break up. You know, it can run the gamut, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Venus conjunct Pluto, I think if you really have planets there, could be a very strong indicator of very powerful phase in your life over this next year for sure.
Interesting.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. What are the rare things happening? I know.
The other rare things, well, Uranus is going to enter Taurus, and that hasn't happened in 84 years. So
84 Uranus, years?
Yeah, that's how long Uranus takes 84 years to go through a sign. So it hasn't been in Taurus for 84 years. So you want to look back at, you know, what was happening in, you know, 1934.
Oh, my.
1934. well, that was the beginning of fascism in Europe, you know. It was sort of towards the end of the Depression, you know. Mm-hmm. So Uranus is the planet of new technology.
Okay.
It's the planet of invention. You know, there's a whole thing about robotics going on, which is what Uranus rules. Cryptocurrencies. It's here to stay because Taurus rules money.
Okay.
Taurus rules values. It rules real estate. It rules things that you can hold on to.
Okay.
So money, totally. This is a big game changer. It already started early, and I realized, yes, it's Jupiter in Scorpio, which is also a financial sign. Definitely going to happen May 15th and for the next 8 years. So we're entering a new era. But Taurus hates change, and Uranus is the planet of change. So you right. can see this. You know, there's going to be a lot of
struggle.
Struggle, you see?
Not struggle, but just
Well, headbutting. Headbutting, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Like Taurus is the bull, you know?
Right, right.
And
right.
so,
although
you know,
it's very passionate.
It is very passionate. It's very sensuous. But, you know, it's in a way, it's like the robotics become part of the sensuality. I don't really like that part of it. There is a whole, you know, sex robots and AI, and there's a whole other world that you got to be aware of what's going on here already.
Okay.
That gets integrated. You know, they're microchipping people in the States. If you want to work for this company, then I mean, to me, that's like, no, I don't like that part of it. Mm. But anyway, food, there can be a lot of earth changes. Uranus and Taurus. Uranus is like electricity. And it's chaos. And so I think there's going to be a lot of earth changes. It represents earthquakes, lightning strikes, volcanic eruptions. So the weather could be, you know, super off the map, you know. Food, you know, staple things that you can usually hold on to are changing. So the very kind of fabric, you know.
Oh,
so it can be a big shakeup here. I mean, not that it's, well, one of the other astrologers who I like said, you know, on the day that Uranus entered Aries, in 2011, that's the day Fukushima happened. It was like literally on the day, and Uranus represents nuclear energy. So that was, so Uranus entering Taurus, I like his prediction, and I thought of it too. So you have to be careful. There could be a big wipeout of the internet from the sun.
Oh.
Coronal mass ejection from the sun.
Okay.
Which would throw us back
yeah.
a number of years.
Like so, the whole thing going
oh,
down?
Oh, the whole thing could go down. People don't realize how vulnerable we are. I'm sure the governments all have their stuff in lead, you know, things underground, but, you know.
I mean, they've been saying that our electromagnetic grid could get fried at any point.
It could, and it happened in the 1850s. Well, they only had telegraph lines, but they all fried all over America, right? Wow. From one CME. And the sun is at its solar minimum. So solar minimum means it's, well, it's also why we're getting this crazy weather. I there is global warming from man-made stuff, but there's also the sun, which is the prime energy source. And
right.
it's in one of its rare kind of low periods, which it does every 11 years. And it hasn't been acting the way it normally has. And, you know, they've only been studying these things for a few years, too. So, you know, it will be kind of chaotic. I'm kind of telling people, you know, you have to be prepared to live very simply and very essentially.
Hmm.
Because, you know, everybody's, and all these people are relying on their cell phones who don't know how to do anything. You know, Taurus is practical. You know, it's like, right. I know how to fix it. I know how to get from A to B without looking at Google on my phone. And so, you know, it's kind of a wake up call. You know, Uranus is the awakener, you know, so it's not a bad thing, but it could be shocking, you know, and the thing about Uranus is, you know, expect the unexpected. So how do you prepare for the unexpected?
Wow. Yeah.
You know? So, again, for people who are Tauruses, you know, especially it's going to hit them the most, and all the fixed signs, you know, which are, you know, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, right? So that's one thing. And then Jupiter in Scorpio, that's already started. So, again, change. You know, Pluto rules Scorpio. You know, Mars rules Scorpio. So a lot of change in relationships, all the sexual secret stuff coming out. You know, that's a lot of that's going to get even heavier, deeper, more entrenched, more into the government, I would say, with Pluto also. There's a, what they're called in mutual reception now. So more secrets coming out about all that corruption. And also money. Again, Jupiter in Scorpio rules money. So the big change in the money markets, you know, financially. And then Jupiter enters Sagittarius November the 8th, which is great for everybody's a Sag and like me. So your reward comes, you know, in November this year until next year because Jupiter rules Sagittarius. So,
you know, because you've already had.
We had that Saturn. Hell of a whatever. Okay.
We've Saturn been tested. Finally
Thank
left.
You. Thank you. You got to appreciate Saturn. You got to bet into Saturn, you know. It's not all bad and none of the planets are bad. It's like the tarot cards, you know, and there's no bad tarot cards. But, you know, so Jupiter and Sag will kind of open things up. It will be much more optimistic and much more positive. And so then Jupiter will be in Sag, its own sign, and Saturn will be in Capricorn, its own sign, and Neptune is in Pisces, its own sign. Right. So that's pretty cool to have all those planets that they're, you know, they operating at maximum kind of effect, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting. There are, you know, again, major eclipses happening. I think Geminis are the ones that are kind of being affected the least, actually, out of all the signs this year.
Is that right?
Well, you know, if we talk about basic signs, you know, if Saturn's in a, what they call a cardinal sign, because Saturn, Capricorn rules the winter solstice.
Right.
As Saturn's in Capricorn, it makes 90-degree angles, squares to Aries, to Cancer, to Libra. So people born in the first 10 days of those signs, or the first, they call it a decan, we're going to feel Saturn pushing them. You know, you got to get with the program here. You know, you got to show up on time. Okay. And then, you know, Jupiter in Scorpio affects all the people who are fixed signs.
Okay.
So as Jupiter goes through Scorpio, it affects Scorpios mainly. You know, they're pretty sexy. They're right on. Everybody has Jupiter in Scorpio. They, you know, they're going through the deepest transformation this year. So that affects Aquarius and Taurus and Leo. And the eclipses are still in Leo and Aquarius mainly this year as well. There's going to be one in Cancer. So on July the 12th, that's a big one. You want to mark that date down. July the 12th, there's a solar eclipse at 20 degrees Cancer with Pluto.
Oh, okay.
Like right on. Boom. 20 degrees, you know, Cancer, Capricorn. So boom, right on there. So anybody who has planets, again, cardinal signs, Aries, you know, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn, you know, so again, can be big changes in your home, you know, Cancer.
Okay.
Restructuring families, home, you know, all of that stuff, right? But otherwise it's still Leo Aquarius. And then Chiron, the wounded healer.
Right.
Is finishing out, the last 5-6 years in Pisces. So it's also very important for me that people finish up because Pisces is the last sign. Excuse me. It's like we're ending a big karmic wounded healing period, which is good. And then Chiron will enter Aries.
Right.
Okay. But it doesn't, but again, the planets just usually dip their toes in and they kind of, you know, skirt back a little bit and then they kind of come back again. So Chiron's still doing that. So it's like really important. Do all your you know, healing. Karmic healing now. You know, it's another 50 years till we'll be at this point again. So you have to think about these big, long cycles. Like, you know, Pluto-Venus hasn't happened since, you know, 247 years, right? And, you know, all of this stuff happening in the States, for example, you know, it is all going to come to a head in 2020. A lot of astrologers are saying this is just the beginning of the next 2 years. And then America has its Pluto return, which is when Pluto gets back to where it was when it was born in 2023. So that's like a reset button. We're back to zero.
Huh.
Back to zero.
Interesting.
So it's like starting all over again, right?
That's not for a while, though, but interesting.
Yeah, but it's coming. It's all it's all in the works. Let's put it that way. It's all in the works. So, you know, I'm generally feeling it's a more positive year again, because it is this number two. It is going to be more balanced. You know, that number one year, 2070, was so polarized. You know,
this is an interesting year. That's for sure.
You know, yeah. I think it was a bit shocking in some ways how, well, it was the whole thing with the election in the States. And it's just waking, you know, Trump is working for the good side. You know, he's waking people up, although I can't stand his ultra-conservative methods there. But, hey, that's what it takes to wake you up, you know.
Wow.
I had a spiritual teacher years ago who she said, well, you can work through, you can learn through pleasure or you can learn through pain.
What is that? She's playing with something.
She's playing with something?
Yes.
Wow, it sounds like something's burning back there.
Weird.
Okay.
I'm not sure what she's playing with.
Okay. She's giving us a message here.
Maybe.
We're getting cat messages. Okay. So learning from pleasure or learning from pain. I mean, if that's what it takes to wake people up.
Right.
Okay. You know, it wakes people up and gets them mobilized, right?
Yeah. It's just sad that that's the way we have to learn, but.
You know, most people are not awake. I mean, there's more people getting awake, but, and that's always been the case, you know, and just because there is more information out there for sure. It just then gets complicated as what do you believe? What's real and what isn't, you know?
Right.
So again, this number two year for me is like, you go within, you listen to your intuition, you listen to your dreams. So again, very important to listen to the cycles of the moon, really working with those moon cycles, you know, spend some time meditating at each new moon is when you set the new intention for those 3 days of the dark moon. If you can't do it on the first day, I'm going, you know what, there's 3 days when you don't see the moon. I know people are busy these days. You know, you go within, you set your new intentions on a new moon, so pay attention to what element the moon is in, what sign it's in. You can look at your natal chart and go, oh, it's affecting my fifth house or my tenth house or whatever it is. And then you can really, you know, adjust that for yourself. And then at the full moon, it's the completion, you know, the fullness time.
Right. Letting go.
Letting go. So I, you know, I think it's going to be a big year of change. You know, when these planets change signs, there's always a, you know.
And there's a few planets changing signs.
Yeah, yeah.
Outer planets.
Outer planets. But the outer planets are the ones that have the most effect, right?
Yeah,
so, for example, like Uranus and Pluto, you know, creating the 60s. You know, actually, Neptune is going to be moving up to be opposite where they were in the 60s, which I think is a really interesting thing. Because then you get to see, you know, Uranus and Pluto were in Virgo when that happened, with Saturn opposite in Pisces. It's like, so what was real? What did we see out of that? That was the whole, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, East, opening up to the Eastern yoga. That's really where it started. You know, it's taken this long for all that to really get integrated into the culture. So you can see, did you say you were impatient? you know, how long things take.
Right.
And I think as we get older, you know, you go, wow, I thought we were going to be way ahead of this by now, you know. But it
is
moving faster.
I do think we say that a lot.
Yes, we say that a lot. But, you know, things are moving faster for sure.
Yeah.
You know, time is moving faster because of all this information, you know.
Yeah.
So Saturn Capricorn, I think it's good for older people to, because it's about wisdom, older women, especially wisdom, because I think, you know, the younger people don't understand a world before the internet or before cell phones. And there was a whole different age and what you were aware of and how you got information. Like, can you imagine, you know, like when I was growing up, the word goddess was just some antiquity. She was just something that happened in Greece, like, you know, 2000 years ago. There was no goddesses in, you know, in you know, look around, you know, for a woman to say she was a goddess, you would have been, you know, thrown out or something.
Right,
you know,
right.
You couldn't say
that.
Stuff like that, right?
I get that.
So people need to understand, you know, how much it's changed and where you come from and, you know, things like that, right?
Things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to find the strength in your heart, I think that's really important. Hmm. Is that how you interpret it?
I think that's a good way of looking at it. I kind of hope that your one prediction of Taurus and, is it Pluto? Not Pluto.
Uranus.
Uranus. I'm kind of hoping that doesn't exactly happen the way it does, but I could see something happening.
Yeah, because something I think it's got to shake people up, because your normal daily Taurus is like, oh yeah, I'm doing my thing. I'm going to make a living. I want to enjoy all the fruits on the material world, which is fine, but that's like, it's not just about the material world. Right. So Uranus is a higher consciousness planet, you know, and Uranus is about, hey, buddy, we're all on the same planet here. You know what I mean? You can't just frack away there and not have any consequences. Do you know what I mean? I do believe I'm optimistic that way. It is about to wake people up. You know, it's like having a big lightning bolt thrown at the earth. And honestly, the more I've done astrology, you have to take those symbols very literally. Right. It's like a dream, you know? So it's like a lightning bolt of awakening. It's kind of like the tower, you know, in the tarot.
Interesting.
You know? So, but the whole earth gets, I mean, some people could see it as going, you know, I know there's a lot of people who are into the ascension. You're going into the higher dimensions. Yes, you could interpret it that way too. You know? So suddenly the earth gets woken up, because guys, you're taking too long here. And, you know, maybe the rest of the cosmos is also very impatient, you know, so people may start channeling on a very different level,
yeah,
or
I've
the
heard
earth,
that a lot.
The earth herself. So I'm just going into different interpretations here, you know, the earth herself can start, speaking, you know, the spirit of Gaia can start speaking, you know, and you need to integrate, you know, where's your technology going? You know, you can't forget about the earth.
No.
You know? And yeah, all that AI stuff, that's pretty wild. My husband's into all this conspiracy stuff, so I get to hear.
Right.
And then I got to filter all that out, right?
Right.
You know, there's that Sophia, right? There's this AI robot that she was born in April. I have to look up her astrology chart. And they've made her look like she does have an astrology chart. No, really. Plugged her in, or they brought her out, or whatever. Because it took me a while to check this out. But anyway, some Hanson Robotics, an American guy. It's built in Japan, where they're totally into robots. And she kind of looks like Jennifer Lawrence to me. Although they say she's supposed to look like Audrey Hepburn.
Okay.
And I mean, she looks like a woman. It's really freaky, because they've got this new stuff that they invented. So she talks, she smiles, she responds, you know, she makes jokes about killing humans and stuff like that, which is pretty weird. And she's got an open head, right? Like, you can see her stuff in her head. Well, they want you to kind of get into this thing that you're talking to a real person, but they want you to be aware that she's not a real person, right? But anyway,
Isn't there a movie about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So robotics, but they talk about all that. So once she gets to this point, she's connected to every computer in the world. So they all start learning at the same time, because they're all interconnected. So there's all that. See, that's what I'm saying. That's another Uranus and Taurus thing. And to me, you have to be aware of all of it. You know, Saturn in Capricorn, you know, it's like, here's what's really going on. You know, yes, Neptune's still in Pisces. That's true. So there is that whole spiritual compassion thing going on, but it's all going on.
Right. You know? Interesting. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. Huh?
Okay. And nothing, you know, don't be scared or anything.
No.
I think it's good. It's just more change, more working with different elements. I mean, I like it that we're working with feminine elements.
Right.
You know, we've been working with, you know, fire elements and stuff. So now it's more feminine, you know, earth, water.
Nice.
It's
good. Yeah. I do remember that you would hold the card up once you turned it. Not that
I'm
always
trying to remember how we're doing this. Okay. All right. So I've got
unfortunately,
my special
Tara
little...
forgot that
no,
we...
No, I didn't. Okay, I forgot on purpose.
Yes.
So I came here and I'm using Lori's cards, which is the nice traditional Rider-Waite deck, which is not the one I usually use, but that's
no,
the one
maybe
most
that's
people are
why.
Familiar with.
Maybe that's why.
Hey, I'm just going with what happened.
There was
happened.
Something about Aleister Crowley that I was going to... And I can't remember what it was, but there was something I was going to tell you about. And I don't know what it was.
Okay. Was it good or bad? It's usually,
it wasn't bad
stuff about
it. It wasn't
him.
Bad.
It
was something that came up that I went, oh, I should tell Tara about this.
Okay.
And now I have no idea what it is.
Okay,
I do know that
all
the old, I do know. I have a book. Or
okay.
I might have a, Yeah. Okay. That I thought I'd give you.
Oh.
I don't know if I still have it, but.
Okay.
I'll check.
Okay.
But yeah, apparently all the old texts are being opened up now that are after a certain date. So there's going to be a whole bunch of e-books that are going to be available to people because.
Oh. Okay.
They're all opening up to the
public.
Oh,
I heard about Dan Brown, the guy who wrote the Da Vinci Code.
Yes, exactly.
He's going to digitize like 30,000 occult books, which I thought was pretty cool of him to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a fortune writing the Da Vinci Code and he used all that information. So that would be very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. That's neat. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, got the tarot cards here. Got my little crystal here. We'll do a little invocation here. So we want to know for each sign, I'm going to pull a card for each sign. And so we're going to start with Aries. This is the other thing. January the 1st is an artificial calendar. So even though we do this thing, I'm going, you know what? Here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're still all supposed to be snoring like bears, you know, in our caves hibernating. Hi, Pussycat. And not really ready to come out until March 21st when it's the spring equinox. Oh, what a beauty. Last time I saw this little pussycat, actually, she was a baby. She was so tiny. Oh, my God. Look at all that fur.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I think your last cat was really furry, but she's even more furry.
Well, he was short-haired and furry, but she's long, definitely long-haired.
I mean, she's so tiny underneath that.
And
she's
very
tiny. If you got
tiny.
Her wet,
yes.
She would look like she's
well, I did once.
A quarter of the size.
One of the shows I was doing,
it
started raining. She was outside.
Hi, sweetie.
And I couldn't get her
she's
in.
She's such a Persian, the way.
Right?
Did she have trouble with her breathing?
Nope.
Oh, she's good?
Yep.
What a beauty. And, the tortoiseshell ones also have a specific kind of temperament, right?
Yeah, everybody says she's a real sweetheart. I mean, people.
Oh, look at her. She's gorgeous.
She really is.
You're such a beauty. Look at that face.
Yeah, she wouldn't come out last show. Remember, she was stuck under.
Thank you,
I mean, she's
Angel.
Been out most of the
under
it
that.
Too. But she's a big baby.
Yeah,
she's a big baby.
All right, so let's do Aries. Okay, so Aries. All right.
So we start. So we're going to start until.
What?
Okay, so we're going to
start with
Aries, even though. So is it January or no? Are we going to...
We're going to do it different this year.
Okay.
We're going to start with Aries.
All right.
Okay, so Aries. I don't know if you can see it. That's the Hangman.
It is.
That's the Hangman. So the Hangman, the number 12, is about... Well, it's a complicated card. This is one of those cards that is not associated with an astrology sign or with a planet.
Oh, so this is going to be Aries for 2018.
Yes,
okay,
that's
got
how
it.
We're going to do it.
Okay.
So Aries, okay, instead of doing months,
right.
This is sort of a better...
Yeah,
is that okay?
That's good. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think we did this last year.
Did we do it this way?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. We did it the year before, we did it completely different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Aries, for you, the Hangman. So this is about learning to let go. Okay. Aries can be very strong-willed, very pushy, very, independent. I want to do it my way. No patience. Speaking of no patience, this is where you have to learn some patience because you have to learn when to let go. I can't just keep,
Right.
It's also about not being a martyr. So you may want to look at Aries, what's hanging you up, what you're hung up on, literally, and turning the way you do things inverted, turning things upside down. It's like, see, it's going into the upside down, you're just watching Stranger Things. So the upside down, that's
down.
Where you get all the knowledge. It's not in your ego. It's not in your head. It's through listening to the earth. So, I think this is a good thing, getting more grounded.
I always think of finding a different perspective.
Okay.
Because he's not upset. I mean, he's not.
No.
I mean, he's totally in a, a relaxed.
Yeah, he's volunteered.
Position, but
this
yeah.
is the god Odin who volunteered to hung himself on the world tree.
It's Odin.
It is Odin
to
get the runes.
That.
This is how the runes came into being.
Isn't that interesting?
Alphabets of the Hangman. Yeah, and it's also about power. See, he's like the emperor. He's got his leg crossed in the same cross as the emperor.
Cool.
So it's again an inversion of power. Where does your power really come from? Okay. So Aries. Okay. So now Taurus. All right. I don't think we've ever done it this way before. I'm trying to remember. Okay, Taurus. Okay. So Taurus, you get the Knight of Swords. Can people see that?
It gets a glare, but you keep moving it around. People see it.
Okay. The Knight of Swords. Okay. So the Knight of Swords is fire or fire. It is like Sagittarius energy. So this is Taurus. So Taurus being an earth sign, it's like, where do you need to fight for your truth? Or where do you need to speak your truth? The Knight of Swords has to do with traveling. You know, like it is that Sagittarius influence, higher education. Where do I need to change my resources? You know, it is about change. You know, all fire signs are about being inspired.
You must have had a Christmas tree because somehow she's found a little piece of a...
Oh, I did a bit of our Christmas tree here. Okay.
She's chewing away. Well, so that's what she's been playing with.
It's okay with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So the Knight of Swords, following your truth, being inspired, inspiring other people. So I think it's kind of a nice thing, you know. And yes. Again, it has to do with that, in a way, Uranian
energy.
And
it's supposed to be very quick energy, right?
It's quick, it's fast, it's spontaneous, it's optimistic. So really, oh yeah, she's playing.
Yeah, she's never seen one of those, I don't think, before. So this is exciting for her.
Where that came in from, okay. Okay, she's having a playtime now.
Yeah.
So the Knight of Swords, using humor.
There you go.
being humorous about all this change, you know. Okay.
And that was Taurus.
That was Taurus. Knight of Swords. Okay. So this is Gemini. Okay, so Gemini, you get the Fool. So Gemini, the Fool. The Fool is the zero, the first card in the tarot. The first and the last, actually, zero and master number 22. So the Fool is always... trust, innocence, very easy for Geminis to be fools, I have to say. trust, innocence, being in the moment, you know what I mean? Just not thinking about the future, not thinking about the past. We're just going with it. You know, we're just trusting. It's very childlike. That's the side of Gemini as well. Childlike innocence. Again, it's about the inner child playing. You know, it's good. Again, like I said in the beginning, Gemini was kind of, in a way, the least affected by the planets. It's just got Neptune. But so where do you need to change it up or start a new beginning, Gemini? Again, because you are the sign that's all about change, this encourages you to just kind of, you know, roll with the flow there. You know? The Fool is always brand new beginnings. Okay. All right. So Cancer. Well, you just had that big, beautiful full moon. And that actually, that full moon in Cancer was right on the star Sirius, the most beautiful star in the sky, which is where the U.S. sun is. So again, it has to do with women. So women kind of making a big difference in the world. Okay. So this is the Two of
Wands
here. Okay. So the twos, balance. Again, the number two, we're in a number two year, the High Priestess year. Again, the wands are earthy, they're grounded, you know. So where do you need to stake your claim or stake your boundaries? Or, you know, it's Cancer, so, you know, your home is very important. Cancers have trouble saying no. You know what I mean? They're always there. You're always helping people. So this may be a time where you need to stand back and look, you know, at where you're putting your energy. Again, because you've got Saturn opposing you this year, it might be...
Now, I always see that card as planning because he's got the world in his hand and he's, you know... He's planning
where he's going.
He's planning.
Okay. Well, Saturn, again, so if you want to make a plan that you're going to stick to, that's definitely also Saturn as well, you know. Yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's kind of standing in the doorway. It's like an open doorway. Mm-hmm. So what's open for you? You know, what do you see ahead, you know? So that's nice. Okay. Oh. Cancer. It's actually a very fertile year for Cancers. You know, it's all about children as well. Jupiter in Scorpio is also benefiting Cancers. Okay. So for Cancers especially, all the moons are the most important. You're governed by the moon, so it's very much a Cancerian influence year as well. Okay. So Leo, you have the Judgment card. So when the major arcanas show up for certain signs, to me it carries more importance because major arcanas are like archetypes or like angels working with you, and this is especially the angel Gabriel. So Leos, if you're not conversing with Gabriel these days, I think you better start talking to him. And he, you know, he blows the trumpet, you know, so he definitely gives you audio messages. We were talking about hearing spirits. So you will hear him. You can ask angel Gabriel to work with you in your dreams. So where are you judging yourself or others unfairly? You know, that's really the influence of the Judgment card. Oh, I'm not even in this place. Okay. There I am. Yeah, judgment, wake up call. Again, it's a wake up, listening to your angels, listening to your higher self, you know, not just your ego. You know, that's the the downside of Leo. It's all about me. You know, it's like, you know, Donald Trump has a Leo ascendant with Mars there. So he's a big egotist, you know. So this is where you get the call from a higher realms to, you know, listen, to wake up. It is a death and rebirth card as well. You know, it is about the dead rising again, you know. So it can mean reviving things that you haven't worked with before, parts of yourself, creative parts of yourself. Again, the cards can carry so many nuances and images, right? But a lot of it is not being judgmental, because that can hold you back.
Right. That's the card that Nancy sees as the unconscious for this year, because it's the two.
Right. Okay. So it is the number 20. Okay. And I would definitely agree with that, because it is part of that realm, you know, the unconscious, what we're not aware of, right? Mm-hmm. Judgment, how we're judging ourselves, right?
Right.
I mean, the other thing about Judgment Day, you know, all of those Bible thumpers, you know, like Trump saying, you know, I'm recognizing Jerusalem. That's all part of that energy too. You see, they want that to happen. They want Judgment Day. Yeah. You know, they believe the Messiah is going to come back. That's kind of an interesting connection. It's like, okay. And maybe those eclipses have something to do with that too, right? But I really like the angel Gabriel, and, you know, it is one of my numbers. It's my personality number. So to me, I've always heard, you know, we were talking about how you get psychic information, you know, you can, I hear things a lot too.
Right.
You know? So to be aware of what you're listening to, you know, maybe
important.
This has to do with news as well. Information, what's going on in the unconscious below the horizon. Okay. So
Virgo.
You get the Emperor. There's a lot of major arcana coming up here.
There is a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So the Emperor, like Aries energy. So Virgo, needing to step into your power, you know, needing to step into your power, starting new beginnings, because it does have to do with Aries, springtime, excuse me, being the king, not being the servant.
Mm-hmm.
See, Virgos are traditionally related to the house of servants.
It's true.
And so this is where, you know, are you serving your higher power? You know, the king can represent, you know, a very positive energy, the wise, masculine energy, the king, you know, a wise king leads his people by serving them. And that's, you know, there's that Virgo kind of energy there as well, which I always feel goes with the Emperor. So again, the number four, balance, the four elements, you know, making sure you're in balance in your life. Not worrying so much, maybe just making a decision and kind of sticking to it. You know, Virgos tend to worry, you know.
That's true.
You know, were you going to say something, Lori?
No, well, it just makes me think of a friend who would be good if she did.
Yeah. Embody your power a little bit more.
Yes,
well, I mean,
exactly.
To me, it's interesting as well, because, you know, people are in the news, you know, the Prince Harry marrying Meghan Markle there. You know, the star that represents royalty, Regulus, which had been in Leo. Now, this is tropical astrology for the last 2,160 years, just entered Virgo in the last few years, which is the sign of servants, so, and commoners. So, of course, royalty is now kind of getting down to earth and, you know, getting off the big throne and kind of being with the commoners. And, you know, they're all marrying commoners. So I thought that was a really kind of an interesting thing too, right? So the whole sense of who's really got the power, you know, is being changed. Okay.
Libra.
Libras, I know you're dying to know this because,
a little bit of a stressful year, apparently.
All right, so here's the Nine of Swords. Okay, so for a Libra, the Nine of Swords could be one of the most heartbreaking cards, actually, to have, because it is about, well, it's more about mental anguish, not emotional anguish,
a lot of
But a lot of stress, okay. But it's also, it can be where you're stressing yourself, you know. The Nine of Swords has different meanings. You know, it can mean too much negativity, too much fear, just too much worry. And again, this card can be showing up to tell you, maybe you're doing that too much. Maybe you're getting caught up too much in what's going on in the airwaves. You know, Libra is an air sign. I mean, I not that I want to be a downer or anything. I'm just trying to talk about this in a very, like, really what's going on way.
Right.
And not that that's, you know, I'm not judging it. Let's put it that way. I'm not judging it. I'm just sort of putting it all out there.
What's the opposite of Libra?
Aries.
Right, which is the Hangman.
Which is the Hangman.
So it's a good card to look at if you are stressing out. Okay. Let's look at a different perspective.
Okay, that's a good one too, because there is always that polarity. You know, one always invokes the other, especially for a Libra, thank you, Lori, which is always about what do you think?
Right.
You know, it's always about what do you want, right? So for Libras, maybe that's, you got to question all that. You know, again, it's about balance. Libra, remember, it's the justice year. It is your year then. You are in harmony with this. Bringing to balance those elements inside it. What is stressing out? What is causing you so much worry, you know? Bringing yourself into balance, I would say, is the advice. You know, there are, again, there are never any negative cards.
Right.
They're just really, you know.
But I like how it goes hand in hand with the Hangman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right?
There is that opposition. Cool. So we're going to, so that's a good idea, because in this number 2 year, we're going to talk about the polar opposite there. All right. So Scorpio. All right. So Scorpios, you do have Jupiter in your sign. So that's really a positive thing, although Jupiter can also magnify things. So this is the 5 of Discs. Okay.
Or pentagrams, or...
Or pentagrams, or coins,
or...
Earth, or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
You know, there's a number of different variations of this, right? Okay.
Yep.
So the 5s are always a bit of a testing or a difficult transition number, because if you look at the sequence, it's 1 to 10, 5s are in the middle. But 5 is the number of Venus.
Mm-hmm.
So the pentagram itself is the symbol that and the mark that Venus makes in the sky. She makes star points. And so the one that's happening next week with Pluto is one of her star points. Okay. So she makes this 5-pointed star. So all the pentagrams, all this Wiccan, which is connected to witchcraft, it's always about love. It's always about Venus.
Okay.
Okay. So the 5 of discs are all about, I would say then, not poverty mentality. Okay. Because that's a lot of what the 5 of coins or wealth or whatever it is about. It's about where are you limiting yourself with poverty mentality, right? Now, Jupiter in Scorpio, you could be going through a lot of financial change and stress, and maybe you need to overhaul that. You know, maybe you're spending more. Jupiter is expansive. Oh, I have the money. I can just keep spending it, right?
Right.
Maybe you need to look at that and make some changes here. 5 of Discs. So the 5 of Discs is opposite the Knight of Swords. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. This is opposite the Knight of Swords. So again, this is bringing new ideas, new optimism. I mean, you know, for a lot of Scorpios, they may be finding it very intense this year. You know, it's never Scorpio, you know, sort of at, instead of it being at 200%, it's at like 400%. So there's incredible change, letting go, a lot of death, a lot of transformation. You may be feeling kind of maybe physically depleted.
Right.
You know, so maybe you need to perk up your mind, your energy. You know, Knight of Swords is Sagittarius, so it's about exercising, needing to exercise.
Mm.
You know, so it could have that as a balance, you know, because it's fire, you know, and a lot of emotional depth going on. Okay. So Sagittarius. Okay. Okay. So Sagittarius.
Oh, that's nice.
Sagittarius gets the 10 of Cups. That's your reward.
We're having to go
such a hard year last year. Okay, good. That's very nice. There is justice. Okay. The 10 of Cups.
And Jupiter will be going into your
sign.
Yeah, and
Jupiter
will be going into
your sign.
That's why it's all good for you guys.
Okay, so if you just hang in there. So the 10 of Cups is really a beautiful, it's the fulfillment of all your emotional desires. It's got this lovely rainbow, which is also the symbol of Sagittarius, actually. In it. So keeping all of your cups open to be filled, I think that's really, really important. Okay. And, but it's interesting that the
first cup sign.
Huh?
It's the first cup sign that we've got.
First cups, yes. And it's opposite the Fool. So maybe it has to do with being in a place of complete trust.
Right.
And openness, right? Actually, it's interesting because, you know, the cards will, there's going to be a theme here, a story that we can read, right?
Right.
It's going to be very interesting at the end. Okay. So Capricorn. Okay.
Huh.
Oh, interesting. So Capricorn, you get the 2 of Cups. Okay, again, balancing. You know, the cards are always great because they always come in those, you know, synchronicities. So, again, balance, love, beauty, Saturn in your sign, you know, you should be feeling blessed. So giving love, receiving love, you know, it's also got this Caduceus kind of energy in it too, right? So this healing, there's like a Leo angel there as well in the card. You know, Capricorns don't like to get emotional. So it's interesting that it's the 2 of Cups. It's considered to be a dry winter. You know, there is, I'm sorry, there is a Northern American, Northern Hemisphere bias in these. I know that. But it's dry. It's winter. It's cold.
Sure.
Right? So even in the driest, hardest, coldest times, it's about being with friends or, you know, exchanging emotions and keeping your heart open there. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And it's opposite the Two of Wands, which is still a two,
yes,
which is interesting.
It's so it's definitely, we have to take a picture of this after. Definitely a nice balance there. Okay, and that's also the feminine, right? So the earth and the water, which is where most of the planets are. This is exciting.
It is.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, Aquarius. I get the Four of Discs. Okay. So Aquarius, the Four of Discs. Again, the fours are always balance. Four of Discs, Pentacles, Earth. It would be very much about grounding that your higher consciousness, your electrical energy in the earth. Okay, and again, Uranus is going to go into Taurus. So this can be very much a representative of that. You know, there's a lot of new technology to revolutionize energy. There's people that are inventing trucks that work on water. You know, there's lots of the inventions that can totally heal the earth, get rid of all the plastic in the oceans, you know, get rid of the pollution. So, you know, it can be really exciting. We could really turn everything around. You know, if we use the technology in service to the earth, this could be a really wonderful thing.
And Aquarius is usually a more
They're concerned with the whole. They're concerned with the tribe. Okay.
Yes.
This is where you're with your like-minded crew. Okay. So this would be about building opposite judgment. Yes. This would be where you'd build a house or a structure for this new ideology, you know, this sense of, you know, the tribe has to have a form. It's not just an idea. So it has to have a physical form. Again, that's Uranus and Taurus. You're going to take all those ideas they have to embody.
Right.
They have to embody themselves. So maybe it's about building communities, which people are going to do, building spiritual communities, building new technology communities, you know, really living that, living your ideology, right?
Nice.
So that's a very nice one. You know, you can see it does have all the buildings and stuff. Yeah, and it's opposite
judgment.
Okay. So there are no judgments. Right?
Right. Well, that is the goal, right?
There are no judgments.
To let go of
being
all
in the
judgments.
Moment. There's the fool, right?
Yeah.
It's a very nice. I like it.
Good.
Okay. All right. So then Pisces. You get the seven of batons, they call it, or
Wands. Fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Courage.
So the number seven. Okay. So the number seven is a good number representing cycles. The number seven has to do with chakras. It has to do with 7 days of the week. It's seven classical planets. So understanding that there's always a time and a place, again, moving with the flow, knowing when to lay your foundation, getting more grounded. You know, I think for a lot of Pisces, well, Neptune's in your sign. There can be a lot of confusion, a lot of change, a lot of what's real, what isn't real, you know, addictions, you know, all of that's coming up to the surface. So this kind of brings your body into it. It feels like a very body. Again, there's a lot of structure in this.
Opposite the Emperor.
Hmm?
Opposite the Emperor,
yeah. And while Saturn is in Capricorn, it's in a nice, what they call a sextile, a 60-degree angle to Neptune and Pisces, and they will actually have a sextile later this year or at the beginning of 2019. So grounding your vision, grounding your spirituality in the real. Again, that's the message of Saturn and Capricorn. You can't just idealize that you're doing this stuff if you don't really, you know, you have to walk your talk. You have to embody what you say you do, you know. That's you know. So a lot of fake gurus and fake people claiming they're doing whatever, I think they're going to get nailed this year, you know.
Well, that would be nice.
That would be nice. I'm a little tired of all that, you know.
Me too.
Okay. I feel like 2018 is going to be a very good year, a very strong year of being strong, about balance, being in the feminine, listening to your intuition, listen to your dreams.
Right.
Very much this year, that's what I'd say. Oh, you have to listen to your inner authority. So to me, that's very, very powerful. It is a transition year, so, you know. I would just say, just go with that flow. Be in the hangman. Be the fool. You know, listen to those. Don't judge yourself. You know, you're starting a new, your own kind of domain. You know, that's really, if you listen to the advice of the four major cards here, you know, and the four is staying balanced.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So I want to wish everybody the best blessings in 2018.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds weird, 2018, doesn't it?
I know. It does.
Do you like odd numbers better than even numbers? You know, some people like odd numbers, some people like even numbers.
I think I like even numbers.
Like even numbers?
I think so.
Okay.
All right. Well, you have been listening to News with the Heart with Lori Houston, and we'll be getting to the heart of what matters with Tara Green on 2018.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.